That's Bill Ann.
Okay. 8:45, we're going to call to order Gage County Board of Supervisors. Open Meeting Act is posted on the southeast corner of the wall. Attendance by observation. Juergens, Dorn, Bauman, Adams, Lytle, Byers, and Setzer. First thing on the agenda is the consent agenda, which is the general agenda. Approve minutes of meeting held January 26th. Approve all claims through February 9th in the amount of $361,119.90. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve canceling check number 110037 to Douglas County Treasurer in the amount of $1,237.30 due to overpayment. Approve chairman's signature on project pipe order and payment terms for North 1 Philly, East 36 Riverside, North 16 Logan, North 26 Elm, East 32 Paddock Townships. Approve bonds for various township officials. Approve additions, withdrawals, and securities on county monies.
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented, 1 through 8, but I have a question about 5.
Good.
I have it, too.
Let's get a second.
Okay, sorry. Second.
Seconded by Lytle. Discussion.
Okay. We're, I think, some messes, cleanups from the attorney's office. There's trying to get things in order, things up, you know, not knowing where bills are at from the previous regime.
I would like to see an amendment to your motion, Matt, that approves paying these, but in the future, any overpayment is flagged by which office or department submitted it twice for payment without the oversight. That is something we've talked about for multiple years, and we never have done it because this happens, well, it's happened a lot, actually. But I would like to see an amendment to your motion that states something.
I would agree. I would second that or whoever.
Yeah. You got to make it. I can't make it.
Well, I'll add to, let's see. Well, that would be a separate item, but because I'm just approving the consent agenda.
True. And that's something we can put on then.
Administratively, we can just do that.
Okay. Let's do that then. Good. Any more discussion on the consent agenda? Vote 7-0 to approve. Regular agenda, comments from the public and requests for future agenda items.
Good morning. My name is Matt Watson. I'm an attorney with the Crosby Gunza Law Firm in Lincoln. We represent E-Energy Adams LLC. Dave Jureski with our office is E-Energy's primary counsel. However, he had a meeting in Grand Island this morning, so kind of last minute he asked me to come down here and try to bring you up to speed as to what's going on with this proposed road closure next to E-Energy's facilities in Adams. It was Mr. Jureski's understanding, at least, that he thought that there was going to be a proposed resolution on the agenda today regarding initiating a study by the highway superintendent, just the study that has to be presented to the board before the next step occurs, which would be the public hearing and the publication that goes along with that. Obviously, it wasn't on the agenda, and so Mr. Jureski asked me to come down here today to to voice a little bit of frustration regarding the process and probably more importantly, to get some clarity regarding what we need to do to ensure that this process is moving along as quickly as possible and to maybe get some guidance from the board regarding what we can do if we haven't already done it in terms of moving things forward. I believe the once the board approves a resolution to have the highway superintendent conduct the study, that he's granted 30 days to complete that study. We would request if the highway superintendent has the ability to do so, that if the resolution is passed in 2 weeks from now at the next board meeting, that he have that study conducted and ready for presentation to the board by the following meeting, which would be 2 weeks later. And I understand if there are load constraints with respect to the highway superintendent and his ability to get that taken care of within a two-week time frame as opposed to a 30-day time frame, but that would seem to be to be reasonable given the type of study that's needed, and it also seemed to put us back on track where we thought we would be if it was on the agenda today. And so that's the primary reason why Mr. Jureski asked me to come down here, is just to express some concerns and also to seek some clarity from the board regarding what we can do.
Clarity is going to have to come through the attorney. Public comment is no action from the board. Thank you for your comments.
Okay.
You're going to have to work with Roger and Marlon on that.
Okay.
Thank you. Any other public comments? Marlon, you're up on your highway report.
Start with zoning. We're going to have a meeting tomorrow working on the fees. We've got quite a bit of information, a couple of different spreadsheets of fees, so we'll be looking at all that. And then that'll come to the board later. The board sets the fees wherever they want them. So, and then the NPZA conference is coming up end of March, 1st of April. Sometimes board members go. Sometimes planning commission members go. Just making you aware of that.
If I could interrupt, one thing I want to make a note of, again, we take for granted all these acronyms and these initials that everybody understands what they are and they don't. And a lot of the new members are trying to figure out what these stand for. So I think all of us need to talk not in terms of letters and acronyms for a while, but let's talk in terms of what it actually means. So will you tell everybody what NPZA is?
The Nebraska Planning and Zoning Association have an annual conference.
All right, thank you.
You bet. Moving on down to Highway Department, we got to approve or disapprove a signing resolution for the consultant inspection on reloading and inspecting county fracture critical bridges. And that's an 80-20 cost, and we can also use our soft match to pay our 20%.
11-02. On this, fracture.
Okay.
Marlon, do we have to have two originals on that one, or just one?
Probably wouldn't hurt to have two.
Okay. Do we have a motion to approve the resolution 11-02 for the fracture critical bridge load rating reinspection?
So moved.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve.
Okay, and we got a road study report in your packet on the between sections 33 and 34 of Hanover Township. My recommendation on that one, I won't read the whole thing, but recommend it can be closed and the county can proceed with the hearings and set the date and time for that. In my comments, the part of the road is partially in section 34 that is deeded to Gage County, and that'll be something we'll have to deal with during the process too, as to how that gets treated. I'm assuming we'll have to sell it according to state statutes, that any property, I mean, this is actually deeded to the county. It isn't just a permanent easement. What this one is doing is vacating the section line, what was dedicated as a road back 1800 and something, I think. So, and that's my road study report on that one. And then we have approve or disapprove. I guess I can give my other road study report, and then we can do the two resolutions.
Yep.
Okay. Then on the Liberty one, basically there's, you know, they're unimproved township dirt roads. They've mainly been used for farm ground access. There was a petition signed brought in with 10 adjoining landowners. Liberty Township is responsible for this portion of the road, and I've not really got a clear answer from them as to whether they want it closed or not. It's kind of been back and forth. This vacate, if it went through, would involve one fracture critical bridge. At this time, there's two bridges within about a block of each other. And the only problem I had with it is there's one parcel in the northwest quarter of section 15 that's in a different section under different ownership, and so I do not recommend that this road be closed. I think it's the county. I think the county board would probably want to go ahead and have the hearing anyway to get local input. But my recommendation is not to close it because of the access to that one quarter.
Roger, I have a question on that. Where we would landlock somebody if we close that, do we proceed with a public hearing knowing that we cannot do that?
Well, again, it's a potential problem. Yeah, and I think Marlon's just cueing you. I mean, it depends on ownership. If it passes to, say, for instance, I wanted to buy it, and now I'm going to come back to the board and say, by the way, I need a road, which, as you understand, state statute says you have to provide me with something. And I think that's what he's flagging for you as a consideration for the board. He suggests we go ahead. Since you've got people that petitioned you, let them come in and see if they can address that concern to the extent you guys would say, okay, fine, we'll go ahead and vacate it, or we won't. And that's
okay,
what the whole process
so proceed
is.
With it then.
Yeah, well, I would suggest, okay. I agree with Marlon there that, you know, since you have people that took the time to petition and get this much done, we still don't know what the township, you know, we got to see what they're going to do also, because technically we have to give them notice also.
Okay, so on our agenda, though, the first one is the approve or disapprove resolution setting public hearing date and time for road closure in Hanover Township.
Right.
Okay, so that'd be resolution. You're doing which one first, Hanover?
Yeah, 1103.
1103, yes.
So moved.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Byers. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Second one, approve or disapprove resolution setting public hearing date and time for road closure in Liberty Township. Resolution 1104.
So moved.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve.
And we have it scheduled for...
In Dawn,
March 9th at 9:30.
Yeah, go ahead. And are you going to advertise, or do you want us to?
Either way, if you want to do it normally how you do, that's fine, or I can put it in. We'll get together.
All right, yeah, we'll figure that out. Okay, moving on. I did some information on your second page on gravel, history of the gravel, and I've actually worked on some line items where there might be some possibly money left for gravel because we're having a situation there. You can see on the line items there's a operator 2 that I haven't replaced, and we are getting a little under our time of the year on our maintenance salary. I do not propose taking it out of these lines. I'm just saying there's maybe some money available there. Then another big one was the fuel. We were about 53%, I think, and that's 61.5% of the year gone. And then there were some other lines. But basically through that, there's probably about $130,000 there. Checking back on the billing and stuff, we did pay $131,000 out of last year's allotment, on this fiscal year, and that's part of the problem. And as you can see on the history there, on actual and budget items on the gravel, there's a lot of times that it's went over quite a bit. The difference now is we seem to have trimmed the line items down to where there's not a lot of extra to carry that over. And then on last year, we did pay $169,844 out of inheritance, two out of for gravel and rock material, and so that total would be $716,502.21. So if you look at back at the average delivered price of gravel in 2001-2002 is $858. The average delivery price last fall was $1,325, which is a 65% increase. So there's some gravel figures for everybody to look at. The next thing was a 2011 1 and 6 year program. And I gave you all a list of the new projects that we discussed at Road and Bridge. All the rest are the same ones when we did the delete one. That would have been the one on that Hanover Road closing. There's a 33-foot pony truss bridge in there that was a project. But the projects, there's like 11 of them that are going to be new to this year. If you got any questions on any specific ones, there's one on the east side of Section 31, Blue Springs Wymore, is that narrow bridge that we've had some comments on from the public. And then there's also that one in Blakely, that up by Doc Koenig's house that always blows over the road there, and the top of the culvert's cut out. And a lot of these are small bridges, 16 long by 20 wide, or 16 by 16, that have bad piling in them, stuff that will need to be something done with in the near future. And we have scheduled the 1 and 6 year hearing for next meeting, so it'll be the 23rd of February.
Denny?
Marlon, I just might suggest you might have some conversations with the city relative to how we're doing, because they don't seem to be getting any communication on Hickory Road between the county and the city, and they're always concerned. The rumors are out there we don't have any money. And so I think you should be visiting with Rex relative to that issue. Okay?
One of the issues, they wanted some plans until we have a signed agreement, he wasn't willing to send out plans to people.
Well, you
yet.
Guys need to be communicating
and
about
that. Yeah.
If you have the information, you need to be sharing it and not just keeping it to yourself. Thank you.
Any questions on that?
Marlon, so next meeting then, just as we talked about, there'll be a hearing and we'll approve the 1 and 6 plan next meeting. So
right.
Any questions, get out the plat book, go for a drive, look at the stuff, because we'll be next meeting.
Yep, and I didn't print off all the projects for everybody because it takes a lot of paper, but there is a copy up at the clerk's office, or we got a copy in our office. So.
And should stress, these are plans, not absolutely going to complete them. So these aren't
right.
All projects that will show up as part of a budget. This is just a plan.
Basically, the state government affairs, you can change your plan after it's adopted, but it's not, they really don't like it. Once in a while, of an emergency, that's fine, but if you change the plan, that's why a lot of these, when we put them on, it's because the piling are bad already, and we know they're going to need it someday, so we put them on. So.
What else, Marlon?
I think that's about all I had. We did have a incident. I suppose you've seen it in the paper, but one of our trucks rolled over on snow removal job. We're working with the NERMA on getting things straightened out on that. So,
Terry might have a question for you on that.
I did, Marlon. As far as when the truck went over, was the engine shut off timely?
Yeah.
There wasn't any damage to the engine.
No.
I guess I never did ask you that.
No, it's mainly there's damage to the light bar, the mirrors, the hood, the roof was buckled in or popped down. Well, we basically, the insurance is looking at that and saying that may be something you'll have to live with. I don't know, but we'll get an estimate on it. The snow plow bracket, the heavy bracket that holds the snow plow, got twisted. Snow plow had a little damage. We got a guy coming down today to look at it, see how much they're going to allow on that, whether we need to get it fixed or get a different one. So,
I guess my main concern was like the engine. You know, if it was down the road, something didn't get damaged, now we didn't catch it.
We took and pulled everything and serviced it and had it out. We actually had it out this morning already.
Okay.
We are having a safety meeting next Tuesday at the 4-H extension meeting room, starting about 12:30, and covering accident reporting and I'll cover a little bit on backing up when it's dark out and there's ice on the roads. And so, and then we're going to have Deputy Kubicek give a meth talk again. So if you guys can recognize, a lot of that stuff gets dumped out in the county or township roads. So,
yes.
The driver was not injured at all?
Just where when he rolled over in his seatbelt, kind of, he was a little sore. He had to stay home a couple of days, but he's all right.
Good.
So, yeah.
Chairman.
Matt.
Just one last thing. I talked to Mark Mintz about it. I didn't bring it up in Road and Bridge, but the 911 address signs, Mark will probably be contacting you if there's vandalism or if one of them gets pulled up. I think the generally, it's a county responsibility to replace that. So we didn't have a process in place. It's our sign. We put it up. So Mark sent me a copy. And if anyone else wants it, there's a, I think it's Jefferson County or Johnson County, that if, if they catch someone, then you fine them for destruction of property or whatever. But if those 911 address signs, because they're sometimes a little bit closer to the road, something may happen to them. Just part of that 911 address sign process. Mark will probably be contacting you.
Okay. A lot of guys, farmers, will take care of them themselves. They'll put them back up if they knock them down. But some of them, I ain't going to go there, but some of them people that live in them subdivisions sometimes don't. So.
Are your sign techs looking at the village, city markers that need replaced? Because I noticed some of them.
In like unincorporated,
yeah,
like Holmesville and stuff.
18 miles to off or blacktop, whatever. Oh, maybe some of those are getting really bad.
Okay,
and hard to see.
I'll have them look at them again.
So, okay. Anything else for Marlon? Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, JD's at a time deal at 9:15, so let's. Lori, I hate that we have a 9:15. Can you do your Save Communities in 5 minutes? Okay.
Good morning. I'm actually here just to give you an update because we do have new people on the county and they might not be aware of this program. We came here about 18 months to 2 years ago and I talked about that we were working on a Safe Communities application for Beatrice, and we are one of the pilot cities that is doing this program. We have actually made it to the point where they're going to come to Beatrice now. and they will be here February 21st and 22nd touring our community and looking over our application with us. And you might remember, I just brought it so I could flash it at you. It is huge. It is a huge document that we had to submit and send in for this process. And the reason that we were applying for this, well, one, Nebraska, they asked us if we would be a pilot community to do this, but also it could help us in the future if they do approve us and we become certified and recognized as a safe community. We will be the first one in the state of Nebraska to have that happen. There are five communities that are in the process of doing this application, and in the future it could help us with grant opportunities on the federal level. And so we think that this is important to be able to have this happen. It would be a benefit for all of us, for Beatrice and Gage County as a whole, and that we can utilize it down the road. So we think it is a good thing. We are working very closely with we have a steering committee of about 8 people, and I'll just share with you who is on that steering committee in my document here. It includes Gus Gustafson with the law enforcement, Rosemary Niemeyer with Red Cross, Joni Brune representing schools and faith communities, Wes Henning representing the law enforcement, Jane Ford Widoff with healthcare, the public health solutions, myself, Christina Lyons with MAPS, Carmen Hinman with representing human services for Hope Crisis, Brian Clausen with Koch Nitrogen, Terry Guilfrey with YMCA, Brian Dakey with First Responders, Linda Amet with the healthcare industry, Carrie McGurry with First Responders Human Services, Diane Swanson representing education, and then Lori with the Nebraska Safety Council. So it's a good steering committee. It really covers a lot of different areas. And again, the whole focus of this is showing them what we're doing in our county and in our community to help people, whatever the situation is, to show that we have a safe community, that if something is going on out there, that people can turn around and find help, whether it's concern about suicide, whether it is concern about youth, that we have programs in place that actually help in all the different areas. So the group that is coming in to do this visit is actually from Canada, and they will be in the community on February 21st and 22nd. And we have an agenda set up for them to be able to show all the different programs we have, and I'll just briefly share it with you. We'll start at the Beatrice Community Hospital, and we'll talk about the hospital outreach programs, accidental and intentional injury. We will go to the youth center. We'll talk about the Gage County MAPS, the extension, and the YMCA and all their programs. We'll travel to the 911 center, and they'll have a presentation by the police department and the fire department. We'll go to the high school. We'll talk about the safety and security that's in place in case anything would happen there. And then that will kind of wrap up our first day with them. And then the second day we'll actually start at the courthouse, and we'll have the Hope Crisis Center talking about their programs and their outreach. And we'll travel to the Emergency Operations Center. We will have Mark talk and show what they all do. We'll go to the Senior Center and talk about how they help. And then we'll travel to Koch Nitrogen, do a presentation there. And they'll talk about the public-private partnership of working with the emergency plan and how we react to that. And then that will wrap up the day with them. They spend about a day and a half in each community. They're going to Beatrice first, then to Lincoln, and then to Norfolk while they're here. And they'll be here for a week. So I just wanted to give you an update, and if anybody had any questions, hopefully it'll all go well, and they'll tell us actually at the end of their visit whether we'll be certified or not. Go for it.
Danny?
I just want to commend you for this, Lori, and the whole committee. I think you have an excellent group. I sit on several of those boards, and doing this in advance and getting out ahead is huge. And as we all know, in applying for grants today, the type of groundwork that you lay in these types of situations is huge on grants for the future. And not only that, but the main thing is it is very positive for our community and for the children and the people who live here. So thank you very much.
Thank you. It has been. It's been interesting because it's been a long process. It's not anything that you can just make happen overnight. And Gus can testify to all the different meetings that we've had and everybody working together. But it really is a collaborative effort, and everybody's done a great job with helping. So we're looking forward to it. It's still very challenging to make sure that we can make it happen, but we're really looking forward to it, and hopefully it'll be a good end result. And if there is something that they have a recommendation, if they don't accredit us, then we can actually just whatever their recommendation is, work on it and get it corrected and, and then apply again, which we will do for it.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Marlon, is JD here?
He's in the hall. He's in the hall, I think. Michelle said anyhow. Matt, do you have my resolutions over there?
You can't wait to get them back, huh?
Make sure everybody's done.
Stock them.
Take off so
trying
quick.
To make sure you don't slip them back.
Where's that
someplace.
At? Where's that at? JD, you're up. We want to thank you for your years of service. JD's retiring from the highway department. So, thank you. Appreciate it. There you go. Anything you want to say? Now's your chance.
Well, I tell you.
Step over here so they can hear you.
Yeah, I tell you, it's been an experience. And I enjoyed the work. There's a few things, of course, you know, what you wonder about. But I really would have liked to see a bunch of supervisors down there occasionally. You know, I invited some just about every year, and nobody ever showed. Well, yeah, I'll take that back. Dave Anderson came down a couple times. But otherwise, time flies when you're having fun.
Glad you enjoyed it.
Thank you, gentlemen.
How many
JD,
years?
You brought up a very... I'm sorry, Kathy.
I just said how many years?
21.
Long time. You bring up a good point. We probably ought to jump in a snowplow. We have new supervisors. Ride with somebody. Sheriff's Department in the past, the new ones rode with the deputy. So you bring up a very valid point. It's probably time we... jump back in and get active again.
And J.D. personally has invited me several times to come down to look, and I've just never taken the time, and I'm sorry about that, but he's absolutely
anyway,
right. We need to.
What I wanted was I first started working there, you know, we had some pretty rotten equipment, and I would have liked to have showed it to the supervisors. You know, I don't think they knew we had that old of equipment. But no one ever showed, and I guess if you never show, then you never know. So... No, my hearing's got so bad that I feel I better quit. It might endanger somebody else, so.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it, though.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah, it was one of the guys, one of the foremen, says, when he said, I remember when you were hired. He was 59 years old. And I says, well, he won't be here long. 21 years later.
Stop by once.
80. No working. Incredible.
Thank you, JD.
I'd just like to add that I've for 15 years I've been hauling fuel in Gage County, and for the first 10 or 12 of them years I got to haul almost all the fuel to Gage County, and I spent a lot of time. Of course, I wasn't a supervisor at the time, but I got to see all the stuff that JD did, and JD's been a good service to this county, and he's done a lot looking out for the county, and he's always kind of been above and beyond what was really asked of his job, and that's coming from the fuel man as opposed to the supervisor at the time. So I appreciate it. Yeah. Right. And JD always seemed to do a good job of that.
I told him on the other time, party out there, I said, I don't think I need to go over the town. And he said, he's so sure to help me.
Life is good. Love it. Good for you.
Okay, we have a 9:30 timed event, so we will do check presentation to the Great Plains Welsh Heritage Center for $5,437 from the Visitors Improvement Fund. Jim, you're up.
Thanks. I'll just take a minute here. And first of all, welcome to the new county board members. Good to see you all, and I look forward to working with you in the future. Yes, we do have a check presentation from the Visitors Improvement Fund, and if I can just take 30 seconds to explain that, half of the lodging tax that we collect in Gage County goes into what's called the Visitors Improvement Fund. And then I have an advisory board that hears entities can approach us and ask for monies as long as it's a tourism-related industry or entity, and it's for a brick-and-mortar type project. So, and then the advisory board approves recommending that, and then we bring it to the county board here, and you give us the final okay on it. And then when we actually get the check, then we do a little ceremonial presentation here, which is good just to get the word out in the public of the good that the lodging tax dollars are going for in the way of tourism. So today, the check for the Welsh Center, we have Berwyn Jones and Margaret Dunn representing the organization, Loreen Riedesall from the advisory board, and I'll ask Kathy Setzer to step down. She's our County Board of Supervisors rep on the CVB board, and we will just take a picture here of the ceremonial check.
Where do you want us to?
You can be in the middle.
The rose between the thorns here.
You have one and I'm working on the other.
Yeah.
And then Berwyn, if you keep it real brief, but just like 2 minutes, if you could just kind of tell the board what the money was used for.
Are you suggesting he'd have trouble with the 2 minutes?
Yes,
mark?
I am. That was a subtle hint.
You know these professors. Well, you bought us a new furnace that handles our auditorium and our archive and library rooms. The archive and the library have to be maintained at constant temperature and constant humidity year-round. This allows us to go out to the Welsh America and tell them that we're equipped to handle their records and keep them safe and bring enough things together to make a research archive. In the light of tourism, we're having our fourth Welsh Heritage Festival in October. The last one brought 120 people from all over the country, actually coast to coast. They stayed three or four nights in Gage County hotels. They ate in Gage County restaurants. And this time, the growth curve of those festivals would indicate about 150 people. That's what we're planning for this time. Thank you very much. It's been a big, big help.
Thank you. Gus, 7 minutes on a timed event. Can you do the seed task force?
I'll just give a chief run a little behind him.
Well, there's a chief right there. He can't ask for better timing.
Okay. Good morning. I will pass this off to Chief Lang. He's the coordinator for
let him get undressed first.
Southeast Area Drug Enforcement Task Force, and it's an issue we discussed. I think it was last week he brought it up, so I told him we'd discuss it. Certainly, we do not have to prove or disapprove. I mean, approve it, I guess, today. I did want mainly discussion on it, and I don't know for sure how I feel about it yet, but I thought it was important that Chief had a chance to kind of tell you where we're at on it and some issues we might be facing in the future if we don't get something taken care of it. So,
Chief.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I guess what we're looking at is the potential to add a task force member to the sheriff's office. As you know, the people that are in the task force, if they come from an agency within a task force, they backfill those positions, meaning it doesn't cost whatever entity it is any money. For example, the sheriff's office now puts an employee into the task force. The task force itself then pays the salary of that person. So if the authorized strength is 10 of the sheriff's office, a person in the task force would actually be the 11th member of their department, but it doesn't cost them that cost of an 11th person. That all of the costs, including benefits, are paid by the task force. We have a rather unusual situation where one of our task force members, the agency that he worked for, went away. And so what we're looking for is more of a permanent place to put that officer, assign him to an agency. So far, the Crime Commission's been gracious and allowed us to leave him with that city, but it's not a very clean approach. The city would do it, except we...
this is where I didn't... You can finish. It was just I wanted you to look at that.
Okay, yeah. We're aware of those numbers. The city, being under the civil service system, doesn't have quite the flexibility that somebody like the sheriff's office would have to put people on and take people off that we do. So something to think about. The advantage, although he can't be used to pull a shift per se, meaning he can't be come off the task force to work night shift.
And be a scheduled employee then.
Correct. But he would be available for after hours, overtime type assignments. Festivals, parades, those kind of extra duties that the agency might need him for. So there are some advantages to you. It gives you another body there that you could have on an overtime basis. Obviously, that overtime would be at your cost, but I mean you would have a body there, a sworn officer, available to you that you otherwise wouldn't have. So it does have some advantages to you with not a lot of downside. So.
The question, you know, that has come up, that sheet. Those are all covered mm-hmm. by it. The liability is absorbed by Gage County or by the seed. How
when you say liability, what do you mean by liability?
Well, liability insurance, that was one of the questions as we were talking in subcommittee. Make sure, number one, he's covered, you know, in the event uh-huh. anything would happen, he or she.
You're talking about as part of your overall liability policy?
We just want to make sure he's covered. And obviously, if he's going to be basically working through mm-hmm. the sheriff's office,
right.
and I think Gus did check that. At least I got a little note back that said, number one, he would be covered. So if he was injured or something like that, or if in the line of duty he had an accident,
okay.
somebody else got injured.
Yeah,
we just want to make sure
your work comp. Yeah, your work comp. If that's the kind of insurance you're talking about, your work comp costs would be covered. Would be reimbursed back to you by the task force. Your overall liability policy that you maintain for your entire department, I'm assuming you maintain something like that, everybody does, against false arrests or shoot the paper boy or any of those, don't put that on the radio, you know, any of those kind of possibilities, that officer would then fit within that umbrella policy, but he would be your employee for that purpose. Yeah. And I wouldn't think there'd be much difference in your policy for that. That's a fairly minor issue.
Yeah, we just right. want to make sure.
Yeah, but as far as workers' comp and any individual costs of that officer, the task force reimburses 100%.
Matt.
So then, well, you guess you'll keep separate books on the time that he or she officer would spend doing the seed program.
Well, here's
a,
yeah.
How does a great.
Okay, great. Good question. What we would do is, I'm the coordinator of the task force, so I'm gonna say me, for lack of a better. He's gonna work for me for 40 hours, all right, drug work, and he's not available to anybody else for that 40 hours. Okay, you can't. If we've had officers from the sheriff's office, from my agency, from Odo County, all over, that have been members of the task force. The sheriff in Odo County or the sheriff in Gage County can't say, hey, you know what, we're a little shorthanded, so we want to pull off Deputy A that's in the task force over to work night shift. You can't do that. They're not available for that. However, they could say, hey, we've got something going on, Cortland days are going on, and we need him to work here. He would simply contact that officer, find out what his schedule is above and beyond his 40 hours, and he could go back and help out with whatever you had.
So when the costs, how do we keep track of that? Who we turn that into? Is it just a fixed dollar amount? When it says a grant here,
okay.
does that come back into the general fund, or how do we need to keep that? I guess.
Well, what happens now is they submit a cost to us. of what it costs to maintain Deputy A per pay period or however they bill it, and we pay that. And that's for 40 hours, no more, no less.
Okay.
Beyond that, if he worked extra, you're only going to get reimbursed for 40 hours. So if you worked him 60 hours, meaning 20 hours for something you had going on, you know, that would just be come out of your overtime budget.
So it's a program expense. It's not a dollar amount. It's not saying this officer
Correct.
Gets $30,000 a year. It's you turn in your expenses up to 40 hours, and that's what they reimburse.
If we added all these numbers together, I'll try to be as simplistic as I can. If we add all these numbers together and it comes to 40 grand, okay, and that's what an officer makes a year, we're going to pay you 40 grand for that officer for a year. Now, how we bill it isn't really relevant, but if you use him above and beyond that, that's on your dime. But he would be available to you, so there is some benefit to it.
Injury or death would be our expense of our insurance?
Correct. Okay. Yeah, he would be.
And we need to touch on, we do have, this employee comes from another entity that is not, I don't know the right word for the program, but we have one from Gage County already that we fully cover. So we're
right.
taking on an employee from another entity in our name, just so everyone understands it, to make sure he qualifies for the SEED program. And so it's not like we have unknown risk, because we have one of our own employees in the mix right now.
Correct. In essence, you would have two.
And
in
we have for years.
Right. You've had them.
Phil was in it years ago. So.
Yes, he was, and we're still recovering.
I'm sure you are.
But we had them from all different agencies, and quite honestly, this is not ideal. We push incredibly hard trying to get people from other entities to the east of our task force, because the political reality is when you have people from Gage County as your undercover guys then and do most of their work in Gage County, or they end up, it seems like they do more work in Gage County than certainly Odo and Richardson and Nemaha and other places. Johnson don't. They'll start saying, "Well, they're not spending enough time in my area," and that's a political issue that I deal with every day.
Gary, Bruce, I think I know a little bit of where Matt was coming from on the recording end of it, as far as keeping track of the numbers and stuff. On the city side of it, I know you kind of have the SEED officer separate from the rest of everything.
It's a separate budget.
Yeah, and that's, I think that's...
Yeah, it's a totally separate budget. SEED's its own. We're the, Beatrice is the fiscal agent of the task force, which means the money comes in and out of the through the city of Beatrice, because some agency has to be a fiscal agent, because a task force is not an entity, per se. So it's much like we have a water department, a police department, and we also have within the police department.
In reality, is we're the population center. This should be where it's based out of.
Well, that was how it started, or I missed the meeting, one of the two. And either way, we've been doing it for 12, 13 years now, I think it's been. We've been in the task force, has been in existence. And go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, Roger and Bruce and Gus, are we comfortable with action on it today? Or is there anything that needs to be worked out where we vote on it in 2 weeks?
Well, I don't see any reason. Gus is.
Well, I think, and I might, without speaking a little bit out of school, but I think if you allow the authorized strike, then Gus decides whether this is something he really wants to do with this individual too. I mean, that's because he isn't somewhat taking him on. So, I mean, that's his call. Him and I visited about briefly, and how it came out of, we were talking about discussions of his limited manpower, and they have things come up where they need, after, additional people for additional deals, and this is one way you would have that guy available to you. So.
One last question.
I'm sorry, I'm looking too late.
Sorry, one last question. The grant, is that one of these things where they fund it for a while, you get something in place, then if it's a good thing, you end up absorbing the cost? How long is this grant?
We've been at 12 years.
Oh, very good.
So we haven't.
Where the dollars come from, Bruce?
Primarily what they call the burn dollars. Burn's a federal grant, comes out of a program that's been around. It's been bounced around in different federal agencies over the years, from JAG to COPS grants to different places. Right now, that's where the majority, let me rephrase that, that's where all of it comes from. We get $0 get allocated out of the state. That's something that's kind of a rub among all the task forces in the state, is we get federal dollars, And then each community, as just like the county does, where you put in so much money into the task force, I'm thinking you put in $7,000, $8,000, $9,000 off the top of my head in that ballpark. You put that into the task force. All the entities put it in. And since we have new county board members, if I can hang just a second, it's based on population. And so however much population you have, we assess everyone in the task force. A percentage is like 86 cents per person based on the census population. And so everybody in the task force pays per person costs, and it makes them pretty equal across. Some counties, the county pays a whole ticket for the whole county. Other places, the county pays for the unincorporated areas, and the cities pay theirs. That's what we do in Gage County. So each county can choose to do it however they want to, but that's how the deal is funded. It's been around a long time. That's not to say it's not going to go away someday, but it's been a long time.
I just might mention, I think it's important that as you talk about the state not participating, I think it's important. I mentioned to Gus in our law enforcement meeting the other day, and it's important for the Police Officers Association also. Obviously, as the governor has asked, all the funding that's coming to cities and counties be pulled, and getting the legislature trying to get them to do that. And also for you to communicate with the Attorney General, who has refused to accept $500,000, $500,000 in meth money from the feds, because in his eyes that's government, big government.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the state of Nebraska won't right. get any of that right. money, which we need so badly. And I right. think you ought to communicate with the
yeah.
Attorney General relative to that issue.
Yeah, when we discussed that, and also early on in the task forces, we got grant money to provide for prosecutors out of the Attorney General's office, and that, for whatever reason, that money went away as well. So we don't. Basically, our interaction with the Attorney General is nil when it comes to task forces now, compared to what it used to be.
And you've told good stories on what happens if we don't do this.
Right.
What happened, and then where are we now, and where can we be in the future? And that story needs to continue to be right. told about how important it is with our communities right. all the way through this area.
Absolutely. Yeah, and the meth problem is certainly front and center was 6 years ago, out of control in Gage County. And while it's not cured, it's much, much more controlled now. And we have a big improvement for a lot of different reasons, enforcement being one part of that.
Your puzzle. Focus on this, I'm just education for everybody, is the drugs.
Mm-hmm.
But over the years, you have had bust on many other things from the investigations, correct?
Right.
So,
drug criminals are criminals, and yeah. so that does tend to bleed over into other issues everywhere from violent crime to gun crimes, those kind of things, sure, absolutely. Child abuse cases.
Burglary.
Yeah. All of the above.
I'd make a motion to approve hiring an officer to work with the SEED task force of the Gage County Sheriff's Department. Subsequent to our conversation, the county will be reimbursed for wages, mileage, etc. by federal grant.
Second.
Moved by Bauman, seconded by Lytle. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Need a motion to close bids at 9:38 for accept or reject bids for surplus vehicles.
So moved.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion. Vote. Law enforcement.
Law enforcement for surplus.
Uh-huh.
I'm surprised. Law enforcement for surplus.
All of them?
Here. I'll open them.
Oh, here.
And I'll hand them to you.
Or how do you do it?
Don't cut yourself, Matt.
I'm trying to get my pocket knife.
You're not covered by workman's comp.
He's armed.
You allowed to have a pocket knife in the courthouse?
There's several for, yeah, you have to look because they're not
on the outside. This is a 77 Dodge.
So this is a 77 4x4 Dodge pickup.
And there's several for that same one.
I'll pull one.
Do my duty.
Do we open them and read them, or what do we do?
Female on the board. Wait, get your sword
them
out.
Go ahead, read them. We'll do all the pickup first, so go ahead and read.
The Dodge pickup, $480. Do you need the guy's name? Jerry, R-O-W-N-D, round. Wymore.
Put this
back in there. Okay. Yeah, another one.
Another one.
Another bid, $477.01 from Devin Mites of Wymore.
Get you another truck here. I don't know. Is it another Dodge? Gus, was he running a car lot over there?
Yeah, we got a lot of bids. $360 from David Lyons of Beatrice.
Is this that camouflage truck? Mm-hmm. Is that the one everybody wants?
$557 from Mark Kuyath of Wymore. $557. $226.49 from John Korte of Wilbur.
What was that again?
$226.49.
Mm-hmm. John, how was the last name spelled, Mark?
Korte.
Korte? Korte, Korte, I think.
$251 from Don Catlin of Beatrice Scrap.
How much is that one? How much is that?
$251. And $602.99 from Jason Ellington of Wymore.
These weren't marked, so I'm just...
Oh, you looked at that
yeah.
one?
Okay. This is the last okay. one for that pickup.
The last one for the 1977 Dodge of $300 from Myron Belding of Beatrice.
Do we want to take action on
yeah,
this now?
Yeah, vote on the truck then.
So, where was that one from Allington? Where was that one? I think that
the
was
next the next last one here.
602.
Yeah.
602 is your
right
highest.
602.99.
Nope. Right here.
Just make a motion to accept that one.
Yeah, make a motion to accept the high bid from Jason Allington of 602.99 for the 1977 Dodge 1.25-ton 4x4 pickup.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, seconded by Bauman. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve.
All right, the next one will be the 2001 Dodge Durango 4x4.
Don, do you need these? $300 bid from Myron Belding of Beatrice.
$300, right?
$300 even. Don Catlin, $251 from Beatrice Scrap. $230 from David Lyons of Beatrice. $400.76 from Dennis Lyons of Beatrice.
Is that the same?
No. Different address and everything. One's a David Lyons and one's a Dennis Lyons.
$476 even?
$400.76.
$476, okay.
So that's before the four bids on the 2001 Dodge Durango. I make a motion to accept the high bid of $400 and 400.76 from Dennis Lyons of Beatrice.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, seconded by Bauman. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve.
Next one are three bids for a 2001 Ford Crown Vic.
$251 from Don Catlin of Beatrice Scrap. $370 from David Lyons of Beatrice. And from Dennis Lyons, $400.76. Does anybody know them? Are they related or no?
Dennis is back there.
Dennis is back there? Okay.
He's my brother.
Okay.
Did you talk about it over?
Yeah.
You knew
what
he was going
to do. He would have
said
in verse.
He shouldn't have said anything, should he? He told you what he did.
Well, I'll make a motion. We approve the bid from Dennis Lyons for the 2001 Ford Crown Victoria for $400.76.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Palman. Discussion. Vote. 7-0.
Have a good Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Is that it then?
No, two more.
Okay, two more vehicles.
These will be bids for a 1994 Eagle Vision.
Double check that.
Oh, okay. Myron Belding of Beatrice for $150. Don Catlin of $251 of Beatrice Scrap. Dennis Lyons of $107.76. And Randy Witkowski of $280.
Is that the high one then?
That's the high one. So I'll make a motion we approve the bid from... He just has a phone number, Randy does.
Is he the one across from Junkyard Bob down there?
Yeah.
Okay. For the 1994 Eagle Vision of $280.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, seconded by Bauman. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve.
Next one is for the 1979 Dodge Maxi Van.
Don Catlin again for $251. Dennis Lyons of $107.76. And Randy Witkowski for $320. So I'll make a motion we approve the $320 bid from Randy Witkowski for the 1979 Dodge Maxi Van.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, seconded by Bauman. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve.
Yeah, I had them all. Yep. There was just three of those.
About $2,000 total, roughly.
Really, that was probably what we'd do on Purple Wave that time, so that worked well.
Augusta wash and wax those before they pick them up, is that?
Absolutely, every time. As long as the board agrees, you rip them right away.
No dealer prep included.
Do they have to get hold of Gus or the clerk, or they have to pay first and then?
Yeah, bring the checks and the titles are across in my office, and we have some keys. Yes, some have keys, some don't.
Okay. Approve or disapprove appointing Mike Spang and Dale Kissling to the Highland Township Board.
And the notices because no one ran, and then those that when they did write-ins, those people did not accept it. So then they did get fined someone that would accept the position. So
okay.
If they get two, then they can appoint their other one.
So
the statute says if there's no members, you guys have to.
I know, but they obviously had one then on the board, right?
No. They can appoint their third one now.
Oh, okay.
If there's more than two members, you guys have to appoint them.
Okay. And I know Mike was on there before.
He was on previous.
Yeah, and he didn't really want to, but then.
Yeah.
But no one did. Okay.
Well, like you said, the write-in ones didn't accept
it. Yeah.
So then they got two of them to.
To say they would do it again.
Do it again, and now they can appoint their third one. Yes.
Okay.
So I'll make a motion to approve appointing them.
Moved by Dorn.
Hyland.
I second.
Seconded by Juergens. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove 12 standard and 12 remote window blinds for county courtroom and district courtroom in the amount of $10,577 to be taken out of building and grounds fund. Dennis.
I think we had a very good discussion on this. Judge Korsland came to the Building and Grounds Committee, and we had a substantial representation. They can't see up there. They put paper over the windows, which certainly is not in keeping with the quality of this building and the quality of the remodel, and definitely needs to be done. Matt checked the budget. We do have the dollars that can be used to do the blinds, and so we have recommended to the board that we proceed in purchasing them.
Was that a motion, Dennis?
Yes.
Moved by Byers.
Second.
Second by Bauman. Myron.
Discussion. Does this go through the process with the architect and all of that, or this is totally outside of that?
Right.
Okay.
Kathy.
I have noticed that some of the other offices also have paper and cardboard in their windows, such as Don's office. So I guess my question is, by doing this, are we saying we're going to come back and do the other offices also? And is there money for that?
We had that discussion, and it was felt that the other offices will be able to make do for the time being, and we'll come back probably in the next budget year and look at that. But at this time, we didn't feel that it was an emergency relative to the other offices. In the courtrooms, the lawyers, the people who are testifying, you can't see. They can't see the documents. It's absolutely necessary. We are not ignoring the other offices. We just don't feel that we have the money to do it right now. And this is more of an emergency situation in the courtroom.
I think the security was pointed out when Gus had their training up there. At one point, a deputy stepped into a blind spot into the light, and he could not see who was grabbing his arm because the light hit him. And I think that kind of clarified to me that maybe security reasons in the courtroom's a little different than elsewhere. Matt.
Just so folks know where this is coming from, under Building and Grounds budget, where this will come from, there's three line items in there. There's a courthouse building miscellaneous improvement, courthouse remodel, and a miscellaneous capital outlay. And I talked to Davey about that. The balance in there right now is about $25,000. And so I asked Davey, I said, okay, you know, of course, just because you have a budget doesn't mean you have to spend it. But I said, if we spend this on this, it won't be there for something else. And I asked him, what proposed expenditures do you have that may that he was allocating for those dollars. He said right now there is nothing, so we could use those dollars for that. And again, just a second, what Dennis said is in Building and Grounds, we kind of said, you know, we all recognize we need to kind of stop. And there's some of these things, it's not going to be a change order, it's a furnishing type issue. And Davey did mention that there was he had an idea of trying to put some type of covering that would diminish the amount of light coming through the transoms and some of the other offices. And like Dennis said, we recognize there's some furnishing issues we're going to have to nickel and dime over the next budget year. So that's where those proposed expenditures would come out of.
And to echo what Kathy talked about, I can sit right here and see a Lithuania cardboard up in Don's office. I mean, we invested a lot of money in windows, and now we're putting cardboard in them. You know, so we recognize we have an issue. It's just like at home. If you can't financially address it, you wait until you can. So, any more discussion?
I would just add, like in the two courtrooms, I've practiced in both of them since we moved back in, and you know, with the added windows that are now visible that were hidden before, you're getting that much more sunlight. And I don't know, you know, it's one of those who should have anticipated that. I don't think you could have, because we never had it before, or at least not people as old as I am.
In our lifetime.
But now, it's, and what Denny said, I mean, I've been in there where you can't read the paper that's on your table in front of you. And, you know, defendants that are having to hold papers up so they can see the judge as he's addressing them. So, yeah, it's one of those things. And I think Buildings and Grounds thoroughly looked at that. Is there any other solutions right now? And as in, Dave's done a real good job on the paper, and we appreciate his help, too.
Gary.
Yeah. One other thing that, and Denny did discuss it in Buildings and Grounds, was that why do we need remote access for some of them blinds? And what we're talking about on the remote access is for the transoms, which is, what would you say, 10 foot in the air? So, it could be unsightly to have 12 foot of cord hanging down and getting tangled up and knotted and everything else. And it's just going to be easier and probably a better thing to have remote access for those. And I would assume we will do the same for the other offices as we can afford it.
Okay. Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve.
Rex, I need a break.
Yeah, okay, point of privilege. We'll take a 10-minute recess.
Okay.
A break.
I had to look for...
Okay, we're not
ready. Blueberry pick.
All right.
Go ahead. I got to get out of here.
We're going to reconvene the Gage County Board of Supervisors, attendance by observation. Juergens, Dorn, Bauman, Adams, Lytle, Byers, and Setzer. And next thing on the agenda is approve or disapprove changing Board of Supervisors meetings to evenings.
I will make the motion.
To approve or disapprove?
To approve.
To approve. Okay. Moved by Setzer.
Second.
Seconded by Bauman. Discussion.
I think we pretty much had the discussion meeting the other day, and I think Kathy was in agreement with us that this doesn't work at this point, and we need to move in a different direction. And looking at some internet access and some ways to expose our meetings to the public. And I think everybody on the committee was in agreement, but we just need to take care of this for now and then go forward. So I would move that we disapprove.
She's already made a motion to approve having night meetings.
I don't mean to move. I would just speak against approving.
Okay. So I need to clarify, a motion to approve is to vote for night meetings, so you need to disapprove it if you don't want night meetings.
Vote yes is for the night meetings.
A vote yes is for night meetings. So any more discussion?
Matt
seconded.
Okay. I would just like to say that I think that probably this was a little premature in discussion-wise. I don't think we probably truly had a good plan coming forward with it. I think it's unfortunate. I think maybe it would have been better if we'd waited a little time with the new board on board and everything, and then maybe looked at different options of what we could or couldn't do rather than coming forward with this. But I guess we'll move forward at the time, and I really don't see any reason to vote on it, but I guess if we're going to throw it to a vote, let's go ahead and do it.
Okay. Any more discussion? Vote. Are you guys abstaining? You went over too far. Danny, you abstaining? It's so easy to do. You take it all the way over. Yeah. Okay. In favor of the vote was Setzer. Against was Juergens, Dorn, Bauman, Adams, Lytle, and Byers. Okay.
Rex. One thing I wanted to add real quick. In Luke's article, appreciate the article, I think you said that the subcommittee made a decision, and subcommittees don't make decisions. There's a lot of discussion and stuff, and I'm not being critical. I'm just, they may make a recommendation. I don't even know if we had a formal recommendation. I think there's just a lot of discussion. So I just, before somebody writes to me about the open means violation. I just wanted to cover that. Thank you.
I would like to add, because it is kind of vague here, that what we were voting on was moving to 6 months, a six-month trial period of all evening meetings.
No.
That wasn't what we were voting. What were we actually voting on then?
Night meetings. Scheduled night meetings.
Right.
So
it wasn't a deal where we were going to try one meeting or something like that. This was actually moving.
The regular scheduled night meetings.
Yes.
Yes.
Which would have been a permanent move. It wasn't just a trial period type deal.
Yes.
That's what I was getting at earlier is that, you know.
Regularly scheduled night meetings.
Right.
Yes. Discuss and approve or disapprove Board of Supervisors standing rules.
Matt.
I'll just, as I went through these, some of it's just a housekeeping. On standing rule 30, just to be consistent with the document, a verbiage issue where it says only the chairman, I think to be consistent and sensitive, we should say chairperson.
You're right.
So, and then, I know that there in the meeting that I wouldn't hear, but there was in rule 18, there was a Human Resource and Employee Relations Committee that probably needs to be added to there.
Yes, it does.
I guess the one thing that I'd like to see added to that is at our meetings, and I asked Rex about this, if it needed to be separate, and so we can just have the discussion if it needs to be part of standing rules. But I'd like to see after the call the meeting to order and announcement of posting the Open Meetings Act that we make it every meeting of our starting our Board of Supervisors, not Board of Equalization, but we. It's part of process to recite the Pledge of Allegiance before our meetings. I think that adds a level of formality and purpose to our meetings, keeps our heads on straight, and if nothing else, lets people know that we are here for a reason. We're here to represent. We're here to do some work, and I think that would be just a nice addition to our agenda on every meeting. So I don't know if that needs to be part of the standing rules to be in there, if we can just add that to the agenda, but I think that would be nice.
Does that formally need to be in the standing rules?
Well, I mean, what I would suggest that you just have the chairperson, you know, if the consensus is nobody has an objection to that, and I know the school board does that, and basically my suggestion is you do it before you formally go into it, opening your official meeting.
Before you call the meeting to order?
Yep. I just stand up and say, we'll recite the Pledge of Allegiance. You have people in the audience, and again, you're not forcing them to do it, but...
I was going to say, where's our flag?
They've
over there now.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that.
Yeah. Because that can just be a consensus, or do you want a standing rule?
Well, you can put it in a standing... personally, since I like to see, you know, so somebody can't come in and say you're basically promoting this, that, or the other thing. If you do it outside your call to order, then it's just one of those. If one of you feel uncomfortable with that,
they can
be late for 3 minutes, and nobody will know the difference.
Okay.
So but I would personally just suggest if you're feeling the waters here and you want to put it before the meeting starts. Pledge of Allegiance. I think that's what the school board does.
You want to make that in your motion then, Matt?
Wouldn't you put that before you do your equalization, though, before you begin any of your meetings?
Yeah. Yeah, I just, if it's, we start at 8:45.
Or 8:30 is when
I mean, you can still basically start at 8:45, but Rex would say,
But would you do it at the Board of Equalization meeting first? Because you
that's up to you. Wherever you want to do it. Do you like this morning? We didn't have a Board of Equalization, but do you always start at 8:30.
Yeah.
Okay.
Board of Equalization. Yeah.
Well, my suggestion was just before our regular board meeting. Once that one's completed, before we start that.
Because you close that one before you open the other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
A rule or not a rule? Not a rule?
That's up to you. I mean, you can do it either way. I just, officially, if you have your standing rules and folks change as far as officers and stuff, then they have to change the whole standing rule thing. This one I view as, it becomes a traditional rule, and I guess that's really what your standing rules are. I know Danny made the comment at the meeting. Kathy had a good question, and Dave goes, well, we've never had a problem with that. So it just kind of I think a lot of these are strike provisions that have developed.
Well,
placed on the agenda, too, written on the agenda.
Yeah, so I guess I would make that, you know, see if we could add Rule 31.
There you go.
Rule 31 would be to recite the Pledge of Allegiance prior to the convening of the regular Board of Supervisors meeting.
8:45, Board of Supervisors, 8:46, then. I mean, we have to have a start time, right?
We can do our Pledge of Allegiance at
8:44. I mean, just trying to keep it clean.
I had spoken with the school board, and I spoke with a school board member, and they do it after they call the meeting to order. They announce the open meetings, and then that's where then they all stand and they offer. They said, "Please feel free to with us, but it's no obligation." So that's they actually put it in there.
My deal is I just don't want to call attention. If somebody raises Keen about it, you can say that's before we actually have the meeting, and go down and bug the school board.
Okay.
We could do it unofficially prior to the meeting for a year or for 6 months and see if there's anybody having a problem with it, and then put it into the standing rules as part of the meeting.
You know, that's a good idea, what Kathy said, but I just... Yeah, this is our country, and this is something that's been done in our country. I'm not going to say anything more. I just don't think it's
Fremont.
Question.
I agree. Did you call for the question, Denny?
Yes.
Is that what you said? Denny's called for the question. Need to vote on
Rule 3.
If we agree with calling for the question. So what that means, when he calls for the question, it ends debate if there is the approval of the body to vote for ending of the debate of taking place. So we call for, it ends discussion, we call for a vote. So vote. And 7-0 in favor. Now we vote on Standing Rule 31, adding the Pledge of Allegiance before the start of the board meetings. So vote. 7-0. Okay. Any other standing rules?
I have a question on standing rule number 2. It says the chairperson at the meeting held on the second Wednesday shall take the chair at the time to which the board stands adjourned, and the board shall then be called to order. The second Wednesday of the new year, or?
It should be the new year, because statutorily that's when it is called, correct? That's my understanding why that's always there.
Yeah, I think that's just...
It's state statute.
Okay. I wasn't sure on that. I assume that's what it was, but...
It probably should be cleared up a little bit, because it does, yeah.
What are you referring to, though?
The second Wednesday. No definition of when the second Wednesday.
Mr. Chairman.
Matt.
So do we need to take action as we change these, or will we just amend them and just... Do a one.
Amend them and do them at the end, I think.
Okay.
And then I have a couple more.
Okay.
On rule number 17, no motion for reconsideration shall be in order unless made during the same meeting or that immediately following the meeting in which the decision proposed to reconsider took place. No motion to reconsider shall be in order unless one of those voting on the side which prevailed shall move such consideration. And, you know, I think that it would be beneficial to put a time period on that instead of, you know, I mean, forever is a long time. Put a time period such as for 1 year. Or
is that Robert's rules?
It's Robert's rules, right out of Robert's rules.
Yeah.
Okay.
And again, if you want to bring the matter up, you could bring it up as a new item of business, as opposed to a reconsideration.
Right.
I mean, you just have to find a second to make sure you can get it up for discussion.
Okay. So, like, that would have to be on an agenda item to bring.
Well, you would again. Calendar, yeah. The next meeting, you would be allowed to ask for a reconsideration of it, based on this rule. But if, say, a month down the road, you decided you wanted to look at it again, it would be my advice that you'd have to have a new item, put it on the agenda, and basically start over.
So you're not foreclosed out.
Correct.
Forever. But again,
there, I guess I'm confused myself, because unless you're on the prevailing side, you cannot bring it back to the table.
Well, again, the prevailing side is we overlook something. It's kind of like when a judge corrects an order. That's basically the same thing. The prevailing side can do that.
Otherwise, it can be brought up every meeting, and that's why this is in place.
Well, it could, technically, it could be, but you've got to find a second. And after a while, you're not going to find that second. And so you'll just move right through your agenda.
And, you know, I understand that, but it just seems to me that, you know, for example, right now, well, I know right now we're talking about televising and recording and, you know, trying to get our meetings out there. And I know that was brought up a year ago, which I understand they've not been voted on. But I also know that this was brought up something when Alan Grell was in office. I mean, it's been coming back. But had it been voted down to say you can never bring that up again when technology changes, everything else changes. What I'm just saying is that to say you can never bring that up again. You know, can't there be a time frame put on there? Like for the next year, you can't bring that up again. But you know, maybe next year things have changed and technology has changed. This has changed. That's changed. And so then you can bring it back up again.
Well, I disagree, because then you're putting a time frame on it. You're saying it can't be done for a year.
Right.
Now, as far as I'm concerned, if new information comes to you and you want to do it in a month, you should be able to place it on the agenda as a new item and deal with it. You shouldn't have to wait for a year. And the way you're talking, you just take that item out, eliminate consideration for a year. And well, I don't think that's appropriate.
Okay, well, maybe I'm misunderstanding this, because the way I'm understanding is that the person that brought it forward, if they were defeated, they cannot bring it forward again.
For reconsideration. Under the reconsideration rule. But as a new item, they can.
It can be brought up as
That's
a new
correct.
Item.
Repackage.
Okay. Okay. Thank you for clarifying that for me. And then I also have, I would like to add or make a change to the standing rules that if an item is sent to a special committee, the person who introduced the item to the board shall automatically be appointed to that committee. And if we need a motion to do that, I would like to make a motion to do that.
Okay. You made that into a motion?
If we need to have a motion to do that, I know we needed to have a motion.
Well, that's not an amendment. That's a new one. So I would think you'd need a motion on it.
All right.
So you made that into a motion form for you. Want to repeat it?
I would like to make a motion that if an item is sent to a special committee, the person who introduced the item to the board shall automatically be appointed to that committee.
I'll second it.
Seconded by Lytle. Discussion.
I think that this is something that can just prevent oversight if somebody has enough of an interest in an item to put it on the agenda, then they should automatically be put onto the committee to discuss it.
The only thing you just need, Rex will have to watch, is if that happens, obviously whoever is on the committee.
Right, and that's
drop
why
somebody off.
So special.
That's why per.
I still, you know, if it's open to the public, they're gonna, just like we had that other meeting on meetings. I err on the side of caution on open meetings. I'm sorry with all. You know, I mean, the general rule is.
But if we're appointing a special committee to look at something, then.
And they're not making a decision, and I understand.
You're not
all
making
that.
A decision, and you can appoint, you know, whatever, however many people, so that you're away from the open meetings laws. Then, you know, it seems, you know, just basically a housekeeping item.
Okay. I'm just pointing out.
Initially, Roger, I thought there wasn't a problem, but then I was uncomfortable the more I thought about it. I talked to Danny a little bit, how you could monopolize issues. You could. I have trouble with the automatic. And I guess I don't know if I'm totally comfortable with that.
Well, the question here we talk about, I think, interpretation again, too, because Kathy has proposed special committees, mm-hmm. which doesn't say standing committees. Standing committees, obviously, I would totally disagree because we have the quorum issue and we'd have to pull somebody off in some instances in order to make that happen. On a special committee, I'm trying to think of the instances we've had where a standing committee hasn't been able to deal with an issue that's come before the board.
Well, even your law enforcement committee was a spinoff of, your jail steering committee was a spinoff of your law enforcement. So, I mean, even though that was a special committee, it was your committee took over that task under a different name. So that's where your concerns are. Well, somebody's booted off of a committee that has already done the research, and the bond committee was the building and ground committee, which was spun over to being the bond committee. So
Danny raises a good point. You know, you've got, I'll call them ad hoc committees for want of a better word, because that's a committee that the chairman or the board as a whole says, let's create a committee that's going to have a short purpose, and we're going to study whether we can televise. Okay? And that technically is not a standing committee, so you don't have, you know, four people already on it. Now you're adding another one, and all of a sudden flags start flying up. And it may not even rise to an open meeting situation, but explaining that to the public and some folks is your waste. You know, oh, you had five people there. Doesn't matter that you made no decisions. It was open to the public. You talked about having the meeting here or whatever. So that was my only concern, that basically you're in a situation where the chairman has to take into account. If somebody makes a motion here to refer it to a committee, that person is going to be automatically on that committee. And that's in essence what it's saying. So for one person that's already been, they're on the committee automatically, whether the chairman.
We have only had one ad hoc committee since I've been on board, and that was the EMS Advisory Committee, I think.
When I just called it that.
You're right. That was called EMS Advisory Ad Hoc Committee. Okay. So everything else is kind of just like a short committee to study something. We've done those, but we've never had any extended ad hoc committees that weren't taken from another committee. I guess I'm uncomfortable with it, but any more discussion?
So we're voting on this issue here?
Yeah, you're going to vote on if you want to, somebody that presents it for a special committee automatically is put on that committee. So a vote yes, and a vote no is against. Matt?
Would you consider an amendment that would say instead of automatically shall be? Because what if I introduced an issue and I said, but you know what, I'll let you four work on it instead. Automatically. It may be something that you're an expert on, but I would like to have there be a special committee look at, but I may not be an expert, but automatically now I'm involved in it, but maybe I just brought it forward. The risk of, playing a semantics game, shall be, because that way I think, as I look at the makeup of this board, I see seven reasonable people here that would probably say, if you want to be on the committee, then be on the committee. I guess that, and if for some reason it didn't work out that way, I suppose you could introduce a resolution and, we'd trudge through that whole process to put it on there. But I agree that I like that the idea of ad hoc or special committee type verbiage in there, because you don't want to erode the current committee process. But, if a person comes up with an issue or an item, if they want to be part of the committee,
I would certainly go with that
remove automatic and say shall.
I would propose that amendment.
Okay.
Make a motion to amend.
I make a motion to amend that to, instead of saying automatically be appointed, say shall be appointed.
I'm good.
Lionel,
with that.
Second?
Second, yep.
Okay. We're going to vote on the amendment.
One quick question yet.
Okay.
About how many special meetings do you, committees do you have normally, or what your past history, you know?
Very few.
We had the one here, but if you have one or two
most
a year.
Most everything is thrown to a committee that's standing already.
Okay.
Yeah, the EMS Advisory Ad Hoc Committee was a special committee. The Jail Steering Committee was called Jail Steering Committee, but it spun from Law Enforcement Committee. And then it took people from the community with it. The Building Fund Committee was basically Building and Grounds that took people from the community. So, I mean, it does not happen very often. Okay, so we're going to vote on the amendment. Any more discussion on the amendment? Vote. 7-0 to approve the amendment. We're going to vote on the motion as it stands with the amendment. Any discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Any more amendments or motions on standing rules?
Get your wording when we get done.
Mr. Chair.
Matt.
Just to make a comment, you know, as we go through these, I think it's important to recognize that outside of suspending an order or suspending a rule, this is generally how we function. So we spent 15 or 20 minutes going over this. I think it's good to do once a year, and then we agree that we're going to all basically play by these rules. But there are instances in here, if we need to suspend a rule, we can do that if we have to operate around that.
Yes, there is.
Like, just I think it's good that we do that every year because, again, as boards change and feelings change and environments change and conditions change, you got to be willing to look at things differently.
So, Matt, just so
that we know, everybody understands, in 2 weeks we will vote on complete standing rules. Is that what we're doing, or are we good now? And
we're going to do it today.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and vote on it today. Yep. Okay, good.
Matt, we need your standing rule 18 amendment for human resource and employee relations to be added to our permanent standing committees. And then we will vote on the standing rules as a total package. Correct, Roger?
That just makes it clear on the record.
Okay.
So move to have those changes that I submitted to the standing rules. One being the what Rex just said. You need me to restate that, Don?
Adding human resource and employee relations to the permanent.
I can be very verbose if you would like.
So need a second.
Second.
Seconded by Lytle. Discussion. Vote. 7-0. Now we vote on the total 1 through 32 standing rules. Need a motion to approve the standing rules as amended and motions put on today. Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Lytle. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Committee reports.
Okay, I would just very quickly, on building grounds, we've talked about most of it through the meeting, but we did have a very good group and had a lot of conversation. Dave Jones went through all of the issues that he's waiting on the buildings, and we basically talked security, and there will be a punch list being made up with the sheriff, and Dave Jones and Mark Mites we appointed to work with the sheriff relative to the issues we have and what needs to be corrected, and working with the architect and the security company relative to that. Dave Jones is going to be making a punch list and a time frame on all of the small issues within all of the offices in the courthouse. There are just a ton of those little things that are irritants that need to be taken care of, and he'll be coming back with a time frame on dealing with those. The architect and Jerry Bergeron and his and the person who's worked with us, Bill Kirsten, did come with these books. Now, I thought they were supposed to have some for all of the members of the board. I thought we had them here, but I'm not sure everybody got one. But we'll make sure you get them. And basically what this does is take us from the present to what we need to look at in the future that wasn't taken into consideration on the bond issue or on the renovations using general fund and inheritance fund dollars. of the things that are that we need to do out and start to look at how we develop a plan. So as you get those, you can look at the first part of the book, everything prior to the red sheet. And I thought everything came after red, but some stuff comes before red, I guess. Okay. But anyway, that gives you an idea of what we're talking about for the future, and we'll the committee will bring those back to you as we come along. The family of Diane Kolakowski asked for permission to plant a tree in the courthouse yard in her memory. There is a place that we do need a tree here in the northeast corner, and we gave our permission for that. And basically, that's what we dealt with on the major issues in our Building and Grounds Committee.
Okay. Any other committee reports? Matt.
Finance Committee. One of the things we discussed, and we also a little bit at Road and Bridge, was changing the time that Finance Committee starts. Half hour for Road and Bridge just isn't enough. And so we were kind of running into a crossover as some of the folks who are on Building and Grounds are trying to get ready and vacate the room, and you run into an open meetings issue as you got everyone huddled around there. So Finance Committee from now on will start at 9 o'clock. So give Road and Bridge a good hour to get what they need to done. So we'll change that starting in 2 weeks. One of the things that we touched briefly on regarding personnel is we have three employees, emergency management, 4-H director, and veteran service officer. We discussed about a month ago needing to get with NIRMA, county attorney's office, of how we need to classify these. At least two of these folks used to be contracted employees, and their status was changed. They've got a lot of questions. Things change, basically, and so we want to make sure we involve the employees. I've talked to Gary and trying to. I think that's great that we have that new human resources committee. I think that's something great for them to tackle. I definitely will help if you need some help with that, because it was something we had started before. So they have some questions about that. Now, we also talked, as we were going through some of the claims, just to open up a discussion that we probably should think about of with all the technology, we don't really have an IT person for the county. And when there's claims that come across for piece of equipment or service XYZ, you know, we kind of be a good customer and we'll sign it. But it'd be nice to have an IT person that could potentially be a resource for us, could answer some of our IT questions and needs. And maybe periodically we could send them a bill and say, does this look kosher to you? You know, we just don't know. We're just not the experts. And as technology changes, I think it'd be nice to have a resource. So just something to think about. Any ideas out there? I don't know that we've got enough work for a full-time person, but maybe it could, you know, put somebody on retainer and you do a consultant type thing. So you may, if you know of that, maybe we can look at that. And I keep giving Gary more work. But again, that'd be a great thing to discuss in Human Resource and Employee Relations Committee. Let's see. What else? You want me to touch anything on Building and Grounds related to finance and the budget?
Yeah, go ahead.
We had, in Building and Grounds, having looked at one of the biggest areas where we have concern and expenditure of dollars is a road and bridge budget, and we asked Marlon to develop, and I believe we gave him a month to do that, go back and look at the remaining $990,000 that he's got, look over the next 5.5 months and do an amended or an updated budget of where he sees the projected expenses being. Look at supplies, look at materials, look at personnel, look at equipment. Again, the county's not out of money. the sky is not falling, but I think it's appropriate that we look at that. There's rumors out there about layoffs and furloughs. You just plan for those and you look at those things. As we get those coming back, I think it's important that we look at that. You know, halfway through the year, just a little bit over halfway through the year, and see where we're going to be, because we're going to have projects that are going to come up. We want to make sure that we've got the dollars there. Marlon gave us some of that information today, but we've asked for a formal report, so we'll be looking for that. That's it.
Any other committee reports? Terry.
Basically, Marlon covered a lot of the issues that we did discuss that day. One of the main concerns, I guess, was the truck, the rollover. I'm not certain we have a time frame on when completion or when that can be used. He said if it was necessary to use it, it could be used in this condition, I guess. So, but I don't know of anything done on the repairs yet. I think they're still looking at that, insurance companies and that. bridge inspections came up, and then we went through the 1 and 6 year road plan, and I think that's all he gave us information today, and that's going to be coming up in 2 weeks. Budget expenses, again, were brought up. Spot rock policy, a major issue, I think, where a lot of these gravel and rock budgets are going, you know, is on spot rock. A township can call, said they need it here. This rock gets delivered usually, you know, unquestioned, I think, you know. So I think we have to be a little more strict on where those spot rock is being used and not being used, I guess. The Energy Adams vacating the road came up, and I think he's going to do a road study and come back with us, I think, as quickly as possible, because I think it's a timely thing. They want to get it done as soon as they can if everybody agrees to it. March 3rd is the Township Association meeting at 7 o'clock. Hopefully everything's going to go a little smoother this year than they did last.
No, they'll beat us up.
Yeah.
And then I
one
think...
One chance, no.
Yeah.
That's a big chance.
Marlon talked about a safety plan meeting sometime in March concerning the rollover. He's going to give some kind of policies on that and have discussions with all the people and at that safety meeting, and that's about it.
Good. Law enforcement?
Yeah, we had law enforcement guests updated us on some of the security issues they're having with the courthouse and how they're trying to work through those and what they are going to need to do to get it done, and he's bringing more people in to work on that. Talked a little bit about maybe he had budgeted for a couple patrol cars. He's not sure if he's going to do that this year budget or what exactly he's going to do with that. He updated us. And then he brought along, and maybe I don't know if we got for all the new people, he brought along the 28 jail issues, and so that we could look at those, some of us new ones, because we talk about a lot at the meetings, and he updated us what was done on those and everything. And if we didn't get some for Kathy and Gary, we'll have to get you one of those, too, so that you can see what they are. So,
Terry, can I expand a little bit on Road and Bridge for NERMA? Denny may want to know on that. Road and Bridge requested that Marlin implement a safety policy in place for snow removal, a review of what went wrong, and asked for him to have it done in a time frame of, I don't remember the time frame, but to make sure that we have our procedures in place on the safety issues that failed so we can correct it in the future and maybe we won't have that happen again.
For those of you who don't know, I've just been appointed to the NERMA board, and so we now have representation on that board. So.
Any other committee reports? Yeah, that's what I was doing just right there.
So do we lobby you for a better rate?
I know my duties.
Okay, anything else for the good of the order?
Has everybody got all their information they need for the meeting later on? If not, I should have copies if you don't have your confirmation and all that stuff if you need it. Let's go into Kearney.
I know you told me to go west, so that's all I know.
Don't go too far.
I don't think I've gotten a new agenda. I don't know if it's changed my...
I can look. I haven't pulled off.
I got to get out of here.
Okay, Gage County Board of Supervisors adjourned at 10:43.
Kathy, I want to talk to you, Terry, real quick.